Hopefully the developing story in Ukraine is one of peace this morning. Let's check in with the editor of Ukrainian Freedom News, Joseph Lindsley. How you doing, Joseph?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon to you from here in Ukraine. I guess I can't say exactly where I am at this moment, but I can tell you where I have been today. I'm currently in a roadside shop with two dogs sleeping on the floor here and two lovely ladies. So I'll take a photo after. Yes, дякую. They were wondering what I was doing in there. It's a very hot day, so I stepped inside. We, with an American friend who's a volunteer here, who's worked with like the likes of SEAL Team 6 and others, and then we went to very close to the front today. We had a mission to bring humanitarian food and also to pick up some refugees and bring them back to the safety of the city of Dnipro. And our first stop was the city of Krematorsk. Maybe you might remember that name. That was where the railway station, where the Russians hit the railway station, where so many women and children were seeking temporary shelter. Mm-hmm. So that city has seen a lot of pain. We were in that city during an alarm today, and yet there were still some people walking around. Almost every shop was closed. It does feel that something, you know, dire is going to happen. But very interestingly, there was a crew of volunteers that were cutting the grass on the median on the main boulevard. And actually, when we came back after our final destination today, everything was nicely, the grass was nicely manicured. So they still were taking this effort to keep their city looking clean. And then now the clerk is handing me some water. Oduja diakoyu. And then we went to the city of Bakhmut. And Bakhmut after the Russians took the city of Severodonetsk a few days ago, Bakhmut is one of the next possible targets. And that city was not quiet. Everyone was moving around. Lots of people were delivering supplies, and you got the sense that they were preparing for the horrible realities that have faced cities like Mariupol and Severodonetsk. As we were driving into the city, we saw some of the damage from recent shelling, including one apartment building where you could see, a hole in the middle of the building. The walls had fallen down. There was a kitchen cabinet still affixed to the wall and no floor below it. And very poignantly and very eerily, there was a teddy bear hanging from a floor that had partially collapsed. And so you really can see the damage, what this war is doing to. And these are sort of Soviet era flats. And, you know, these people already, you know, probably didn't have too much, and now they have nothing. And as we were delivering supplies to people in there, we heard shelling, constant shelling. Some of it, according to my friend that was with us, was Ukrainians. You could tell that it was outbound and Ukrainians pushing forward and against the Russians. But there was also shelling from the Russians. And this thunderous noise with which these people have lived very intensely, especially this past week. And even then, we're talking with a babusa, a grandmother, and she's so grateful for the supplies we brought her. She wants to take pictures, and we're standing outside even as the shelling and the fighting occurs outside of the city.
Joseph, two thoughts come to mind listening to you today. One is there's no way that any of us can really feel what you're feeling there just from watching all the news and seeing the pictures and the video. There is no way we come closer thanks to your wonderful reporting, but it must be unbelievable to be in the middle of it. And my second thought is, despite being surrounded by the horrors of war, and you're very close to it now as you've moved from Lviv to the east, despite that, in many ways, life goes on, and you've described some very idyllic scenes in the middle of the horrors.
Absolutely. The scenery is absolutely beautiful. The green is the color. Some of it looks like the chartreuse, the French liquor. It's so stunning views and the spirit of the people. Even today, as I left the hotel in Dnipro, we were getting lots of reports that the very town we were going to is really under one of the most serious threats right now. And that's why we had to go get people out of there. And so I brought a bulletproof armor and a helmet. I didn't wear it, but, we had no idea what we might be getting into. And at one point we were on the main square and there were people waiting in line to get telephone cards and others waiting to pick up goods. And all around the square, you could hear shelling in every direction. And when, you know, people don't get used to it. I mean, everyone still looks, except for that grandmother. She was calm, but everyone else, you know, people look to the sky, and the sky has become such a source of fear for everyone. And you know, and this is a Russian speaking region. And in fact, you know, it's difficult to communicate with my attempts at Ukrainian and they're Russian, but by every indication, they're so happy that Americans are here, because when they at all, every checkpoint, in fact, one of the soldiers asked us to get out of the car, and there was a Putin, I can't say this on radio, but there was a tombstone they had made, and it said, I don't know if I could say the Ukrainian version on radio, if that would cause problems, but because it was written in Ukrainian, but I don't know, is that allowed? But it said, I won't say it then, but it said, Putin, you know what, and it was an actual tombstone that someone had carved, and this was established at a checkpoint. Where they never let photographs be taken, but they asked us to take a picture with them there, and so, you know, I can see that this country is unified. I mean, for so many years, the East and the West were sort of at odds linguistically and culturally, but the spirit that I saw in the West, I see especially here, because they feel it, and they you know, you feel the boom of the blast constantly.
Amazing.
Almost constantly.
It's just amazing. And in the middle of all that, Ukraine's men's national football team is one game away from qualifying for the World Cup, because they beat Scotland the other night. And I don't know if anybody thinks about that or is talking about it there, but apparently that's big news.
Things like that really, really matter a lot. I think every boost is needed, especially. There was a point, and maybe that was reflected in some of our conversations, but the past, maybe a week ago, where it was very, very difficult for everyone to keep their spirits up. We sort of, you hit a wall when you got to day 90 of the war. You know, where is this going? And there is concern of, you know, the support is being weakened. But moments like the Ukraine's football team, and some say that was Ukraine's finest moment in soccer. Hmm. And where I was in Nikopol at the time, you know, right across from where the Russians occupied the land, on that stormy night when we were in a constant air alarm, and we couldn't get any reception on the TV. So the Ukrainians around me were annoyed that they couldn't watch it. But, yeah, certainly that provided a boost.
Yeah, well, any distraction, I'm sure, is welcome. Joseph Lindsley, we're grateful, as always, for your reporting, and the people there certainly grateful for the supplies you're delivering. And let's hope for a peaceful weekend. We'll check in with you on Monday.
Thank you, Bob. And I just want to say this one quote from my driver today. He said, people ask if he's afraid. And you said, my bullet is already flying somewhere in this world. And so we keep going.
We'll keep that in our thoughts as we go about our lives here on a nice weekend in the Midwest. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.